Good evening, everyone. I think we have some students here. Where are you, students? Okay, welcome. And we have citizens and staff. I'd like to welcome you to January the 21st, the Board of Supervisors' regular meeting. If you would stand with us, we will say...
What are we going to do, the closed session?
Oh, yes. We need, I'm sorry, we have to do a closed session.
Madam Chair.
We have to come back in.
Come back in.
Yes.
Madam Chair.
Excuse me, we had a portion of closed session while we had our dinner, so now we have to have a motion to come back in.
Out of closed session.
Out of closed session.
Madam Chair, I move that the closed meeting be adjourned and the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved to the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify to the best of each member's knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meetings requirements under Section 2.2-3711-8 of the Code of Virginia, 1950 as amended, and only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting. A second and a recorded vote is needed.
All right, I have a second.
Second.
All right, it has been moved by Mr. Weaver and second by Mr. Sheridan. Now we have to have individual vote. Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Ms. Ellenberg?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver? Ms. Sheridan?
Aye.
Chair votes yes. It votes aye as well. So we are back in open session. Now we should stand and we'll have to pledge in a moment of silence. Okay, I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. For this time, we're going to have a motion to adopt the agenda. Anyone have any changes or deletions? If not, may I have a motion?
So may.
Second, please.
Second.
It has been moved by Mr. Weaver and second by Mr. Allenbrook that we adopt the agenda that is before us. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. At this time, we'll have our county administrator's report.
Yes, ma'am. A number of things to report on. Good evening, Board. Madam Chair, members of the Board. The Christmas program that's sponsored through the Department of Social Services was great again this year. 180 children and almost 50 seniors were helped by the sponsors of the program. But Jane Wilson from our social services staff is the one who coordinated the program again this year and really made a great impact on our community and people in need. Also, congratulations to Cheryl Wilkins. She just got her notification letter today that she's been selected to attend a prestigious training program, the Emergency Management Professional Program, Foundations in Emergency Management in March, and that'll be in Wakefield. And for the type of class it is and the extended course time that it is, it's the least expensive, amazing training you can get. It's about $360 for this two-week training, and really good additional things. Largely, the training is free, and you only have to pay for your meals during that time. And it's a great training, and we really, really are proud of her for being selected for that competitive program.
And this is congratulations, Cheryl.
She has failed. In front of you, I think I put a copy up there. The Senior Resources Guide. This is the hard copy version of the new Senior Resources Guide. We've had a bunch of these printed, so the Partnership for Aging Committee will distribute some of these. When you go to board meetings or community events, you certainly are able to pick up some of these and take them to meetings. But if you look all the way through it, it has different categories, and then towards the back there's some general information. It's a great way for families, for caregivers, for seniors to find resources for senior support in the community. And if you go to our website, when you pull up the county website, the Senior Resource Guide is also linked on the website, and it's all hyperlinked to be able to go to the section you want. If you want to look for legal services, it'll take you to the different types of legal services that are available locally for seniors, and then right back to the table of contents. And so the same document that you've got here, but in web version on the Senior Resources tab on our county website. goofed up and hit the wrong button, sorry. The new stage of Pleasant Grove is done. They did a really good job, but Stribling Company? Was it? Who did the project, and they just did a really good job on the build for this. You can see on the left bottom here, this is a finished picture. This is from yesterday, and it's Trex decking on the top and the sides, a very low slope ramp on the back of the stage for handicap and also for equipment hauling up to the stage. The electricity utilities are in place already, and it'll be a great venue at Pleasant Grove. And you saved a significant amount of money on this project because the engineering design, the architectural design for this stage was done by our county engineer, Mr. Stevens. And I assure you that you could drive a very large truck on that stage and it will hold up. And because it's Trex decking, it'll last for decades. And this is really a great added venue to Pleasant Grove Park.
What's the ultimate look of that then?
Well, so the engineering design for the future hasn't been done, but the conceptuals are that this would have, you know, like a half moon shape over the top of it, and then a storage building behind to store equipment and things. But for now, what the chamber plans, when they do barbecue, bands, and brew, they're just going to rent a canopy, a tent, and instead of staking it down, because you're on top of there, they will use the water barrels that are filled, the barrels that are filled with water to hold the tent canopies. And then that will be the cover over the stage, you know, during the hot summer for events. So it's a very inexpensive venue, but a really large, beautiful, easy to use stage that's fully handicapped accessible. Is it 40 by 30, Wayne? 40 by 30. But anyway, really a really great job, and it's backed by the pole barn. So if you're sitting in the pole barn looking down across the field, it all slopes right down to it, and it's a beautiful venue for big events. The Carysbrook Elementary Geographic Bee was done last Friday. Great time. I got to participate as one of the judges, and it was fun doing that. And I know they also had one at the middle school and did a bee there. And the kids that win these will go on to further competitions because this is a national competition. But Michelle Farley and Corey Crawford were the staff facilitators for the event at Carysbrook Elementary. And the two winners of their categories in third and fourth grade were Kessler Potter, here pictured here on the left, from Ms. Flood's class, and Mason Blackburn from Mr. Dieter's class for fourth grade. So great job. And you would not want to have to answer the geography questions that they asked, honest to gosh. And I've been fortunate to travel a lot. Wow. They were difficult. I don't have any additional business things this week. We've been tied up doing a number of other things, so I didn't get a chance to fill it in, but we'll try to double up on the next brief. The Market of Fluvanna Awards reception has changed just because of some timing and sequencing and events going on, but it's moved to the library. It's going to be a beautiful awards reception at the library from 3 to 5 this Saturday, and all the award recipients will get recognized there. Some cash awards from local organizations, certificates for various types of things, some free gifts, and some refreshments there at the reception. But also a lot of good marketing materials for Fluvanna County to use in the future, too, on our website and in our marketing materials and just to tout our county and the good things about our county. One of the vehicles we were talking about in the fiscal year 15 CIP is this new fire vehicle for Palmyra Station. Andy Wills is up there saying hi to my relatives in Wisconsin, doing the final inspection on the truck before it gets delivered. So I asked him to stop by the old Nichols homestead. Finance Board meeting. Finance Board is going to start meeting again. The first meeting is Monday afternoon, 3 to 5. There are two pending agenda issues that I just couldn't get on this budget. One is the dog leash policy. You have partially a new staff member. Lola Mae Smith was born on January 13th. Mm-hmm. That kind of kept her father away from work, Jason Smith.
Right.
And so the dog leash policy will come up on one of your future agendas quickly. And then the business license fee proposal the same way. Just need to get final information from Mr. Sheridan and Mr. Popowitz, and we'll get that back on your agenda. I'd like to propose that you do a brief in your work session. There's nothing scheduled for the work session now at 4 o'clock on the 18th of February. You've got a regular budget meeting that night and a board meeting that night. But you will see in front of you the draft preliminary engineering report for the Zion Crossroads water system. So there's your copy of the PER. We'd like you to review it as much as you can, take a look at it, you find problems, errors, you have questions, send those questions back into myself or to Mr. Stevens. We'll get those to RK&K, and then RK&K will smooth this up and come to a final brief and answer questions if you want to do it at your work session on the 18th of February. Okay, so without any dissent, I'll get that scheduled for the 18th. But please take a look at this carefully. If you want this electronically to make notes on it, we've got it electronically, we can send it to you too. But I just scanned through it last night. It's a very good report with lots of good information and good supporting documentation. And I think it'll help in your decision-making process moving forward with the Zion Crossroads water system.
Is that the one that has a prime rate in it and how it's tied to the interest rate? In that it's in one of the documents I noticed talking about the prime rate.
Wait.
And if you're late, you'll be 1% over the prime rate.
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
It's on an iPad that you sent.
Oh no, definitely not on this.
Okay.
I didn't send this electronically at all. That is the James River Water Service Agreement.
Okay.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the design, the preliminary right. engineering design and review okay. for the Zion Crossroads water system. The one that came electronically was the James River Water Authority draft service agreement,
right.
which will
okay.
be on your 18th agenda
and,
as well.
And they presented to us.
Yeah, RK&K came and presented a work session in December 17th.
Right.
And they'll come back and give you your final report, but we want your review and comments first.
Right.
And then your next meeting is on February 4th. That's the regular meeting at 4 o'clock. I'll present the fiscal year 16 budget proposal along with the four out years and the CIP. And then that evening is your first budget work session. That's a revenue and expenditures work session and then agency briefs. Any questions I can answer for the board?
Any questions? So the celebrate Fluvanna, well, we have this here. Did you do this?
I did, but that's part of that contest thing. So.
Oh, that contest was the 24th.
Yeah,
I was glad it was from 3 to 5 because, you know, Kent Store Fire
right.
Department is having their
yeah.
awards program.
And they
seven.
Couldn't change it. They're long scheduled, so
yeah,
this has changed
so
and now there's no
was,
conflict.
Yeah, glad to go to both of those.
Because theirs is at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
that evening.
Yeah, and then Friday I'm going to be the judge for the spelling bee at Harrisburg.
Yeah, I'm doing
yeah,
the.
That's a little easier.
I'm doing the script spelling bee tomorrow night at the high school.
At six.
They're having a tour, you know.
I'm telling you, some of those kids, we did the middle school geography,
yeah,
and they were saying, "What's the question? Not me.
Yeah.
I'm a history
mm-hmm.
major, and I'm
yeah.
going."
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing, yeah.
Right, and then a couple of us are going to take a tour of the middle school too. On Friday morning.
Yeah, did you reply to the school,
yes,
Mrs. Booker?
Yes,
okay.
I did.
Because I responded to both of you too. Yeah, I told them about both of you too.
You already know the school.
Okay, thank you.
If you've got a question, I can probably answer.
Next, number four, Board of Supervisors updates. Do we have anyone who would like to update the board on any of their boards, commissions, or?
Monday meeting
nope.
in January.
You don't meet later
they
January?
They didn't meet in January.
They didn't.
So,
yeah. mm-hmm.
Short meeting.
Our Parks and Rec board met, but it was kind of short because Miss Lola came
Ms.
in
Lola
the day before.
Yes. Okay.
We've had jail board. We had one committee organizational meeting of the five county administrators. Thankfully, whittled themselves down to two, because you know, with five of them, you never get anything done.
Yeah.
No, you actually might. Never mind.
Oh, the other way around.
So we whittled it down to two, and myself and Troy Wade, supervisor from Louisa,
mm-hmm.
and staff at the jail, finance staff and the superintendent. So we had some discussion on the budget. Really didn't get anywhere, but it opened up the conversation. So we have another meeting, I believe, Tuesday at 8 a.m. at the jail.
That's the review board.
It's informational only. They have no power.
Mm-hmm.
This committee,
mm-hmm.
but it'll bring it back.
I think
the information hopefully will be brought back to the jail board, and we'll make a decision on the budget sometime in March. But I should be able to give you an idea. next week.
February 3rd is the jail board meeting, or footnote?
Even before that,
February 12th.
Even before that, I'll be able to give you, I'll have a look at the draft budget.
Okay.
And he's working on right now, skimming that down. After our meeting on Tuesday, we should get a pretty good picture of where we're going to be. Right, as you know, right now it's $700,000 increase with another $300,000 next year. But to be, this is another kick the can down the road situation that, you know, what we save this year is definitely going to, at the end of the day, over the next few years, we're going to have a big pay the price.
Okay, $1 million.
Wouldn't your committee be sort of a status quo as far as changes, especially on finances? In other words, if it's $700,000 now,
right?
Do they understand the ramifications of actually what they're asking for in VRS?
Yes.
Do they?
Yeah, and that's why it's important to have the county administrators there.
Right, to have the county administrator.
Yeah, it's more educational.
But I thought you meant the staff at the jail.
The staff at the jail.
Not the county administrators.
The staff at the jail, it's just like every other year. They're going to put out a budget like the county administrator does. And the jail authority will take that and we'll have our discussions on it just like we do on our county budget. So in March, I believe March 5th, that budget's finalized. And that's what we're going to, you know, that's it. That's what we pay. What I'm saying to you is that there are already some errors in that preliminary budget that's 700 and 300 K in our part. And there's some toning down of staffing, which started out at 43. I think we've got it down to a dozen now. So new hires because of the new jail. And there's some other things in there that, you know, you look cross-eyed at. So once we go through that with a fine-tooth comb, and you know me, that not much is going to sneak by. So, you know, we'll have a firm number. It isn't going to be 700,000.
Yeah, well, I picked up on that.
But we're kicking the can down the road at some point, sometime. It's all going to come to roost. You know, jails now nationwide are not cash cows anymore. The federal government is not prosecuting you anymore, unless you're a politician, a governor, a delegate.
And we're not kicking it down the road, because once it gets there, it's going to be there. It's going to stay there.
Yes.
We're delaying the full cost.
Other than the 700 to the 500,000.
700.
In other words, you're eliminating maybe.
But then it's status quo.
What they're actually going to.
But then it's status quo forever. Sooner or later, you're going to have 43 new employees.
Yeah, when you have the prisoners. So
No.
Whether there's prisoners there or not, you're going to put them on empty cells?
No, the cells will be full. You need to go on a tour of the jail.
But I've been to it.
Well, then you'd never want to go back. To give you a quick example, one section of the jail has 127 double bunks, and you have to see it to believe it. So there's 127 prisoners housed in a room about this size, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Smaller than this, maybe.
Maybe smaller than this room.
That's the expansion part.
No, that's the new part.
Most of the jail is designed for half the population that's in there.
That's in there now. So you've got 127 prisoners in a room smaller than this. No cells.
I don't understand why we couldn't use the old stone jail for this.
You probably could. And you'd rather be in the old stone jail. And then you have designated other areas that are for the women's section. You've got the deviant section. You've got the people that are in 23-hour lockdown. Then you've got the trouble section that people just can't get along with anybody else.
But I didn't mean to get into all this.
No, I'm just trying to explain. You said to me,
thanks, Mr. Weaver.
Thanks.
I kind of feel like I'm in jail right now.
Me too.
You know, and I wasn't gonna speak tonight.
Yeah, that was a long board report. Should we limit these to 2 minutes? I believe I might put a minute.
Put the timer on.
Is that like limiting the break to 5 minutes?
I think we have to.
Thank
yes.
You,
yeah,
Bob.
Thank you, Bob. We're gonna let Bob do a walk through the jail the next time. I'll give you 5 minutes the next time. Okay. I went to a very interesting meeting. They brought out a River Basin Commission, and this is something Mike, Mr. Sheridan, that you probably would enjoy. They're talking about recreation on the rivers. They're talking about bringing economic development to the Commonwealth of Virginia and of course to the county's locations by improving and doing more things on the river. They're talking about you can do bird watching from the river. You can find more birds if you're on the water. But they're going to do a seminar in the spring, and then they're going to do a conference. And when they do that, maybe you and I can go, because I know you're a real sports person, outdoors, and can add some things to what we can do here in Fluvanna County.
Take them on a walk through the river.
So that was an interesting meeting. Okay, we will go on now to, that's it. We're going to go to public comments. If anyone would like to come before the board, would you come to the mic and give us your name, your address, and you have 5 minutes to talk to the board. Anyone like to come?
Anyone? I used up all your 5 minutes.
Okay, I will close the first comment section. We do not have a public hearing. We do have an action item, bereavement policy. It's coming from Ms. Gail Parrish, our human resources manager.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for listening to me this evening. I'm here to present new policy that we found that we do not have currently for Fluvanna County staff, and that's a bereavement leave policy. Bereavement leave is a time where employees don't need to be worried about whether they're going to be able to pay their bills. And in December I did a mini survey of the HR contact network that I have in the counties throughout Virginia and the surrounding areas and some further away. And I got 20 responses. Of the 20 responses, 18 of them do have bereavement policies. The other two are like us, and they require their employees to use leave, either annual or sick leave. Tonight I'm here to propose that we do provide bereavement leave that would be for all regular full-time and part-time staff of 3 days. That would give them, and then they could use additional leave if needed, using their any other kind of leave that they would have available. The policy does also describe the immediate family. It would be for their immediate family. Immediate family would be a spouse, a child, either natural, step, or adopted, foster child, parent, natural, step, adoptive, sibling, immediate in-laws, father, mother, sister, brother, son, daughter, grandparents, immediate or spousal, legal guardian, or a person living in the same household as the employee. Are there any questions?
Mm-hmm. Any questions? Mr. Weaver?
I have some. Has anyone been denied time off in the past for any of these reasons?
They've not been denied time off, but many times when an employee has to take leave to care for an ill somebody that's ill. They've used up most of their leave time, and then the person passes away, and they're either having to go on leave without pay, or somebody has to loan them or give them their leave time that they've earned.
So you have bank leave.
Pardon?
Y'all have bank leave?
It's what we call it is leave sharing.
Leave sharing. Okay.
We don't have a bank of leave for people to draw from.
Okay.
They have to request, and people would donate their leave.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
I noticed in here also that you now include part-time benefits eligibility.
But these would be people who have leave eligible benefits, so that they would have a part-time bereavement leave eligible.
Are you defining that as a 30-hour or a 29-hour?
20.
Individual?
That would be a 20-hour.
20-hour.
Yes, and it's a leave eligible.
Right.
We only have currently two employees that meet that.
Most part-time employees are not leave eligible. There are a couple that are leave eligible because they're regular, permanent, part-time employees. They're leave eligible. They're not benefits eligible, other benefits. They don't get health insurance or life insurance.
Yeah, I understand that.
Right. But they get, they accrue annual leave and sick leave?
Annual sick and...
That's for part-time.
Yeah. Two employees, yes.
We have two employees.
Always said that.
And if it's 30, you have full benefits, 30 hours.
No, it would be 0.75. It's we don't have a 30-hour employee.
Okay. But what constitutes 30 full-time for us, 32 hours or 30?
No, it has to be over 37.5, 37 or more.
I thought they were getting benefits for 30 hours. Health insurance... Different.
Yes.
Is that not true?
Yes. We only have one employee that is, but that employee currently is working 37 hours.
But it's still defined as 30 hours. They still can get benefits, right?
That's for the
that's
Care Act.
Obama.
That's separate from...
It's because of the Health Care Act that we have to.
But this didn't concern them because we've had this well before this ever started.
Yes, sir.
My understanding.
Yes, sir.
The policy has been in place.
The policy has been in place.
That's what I'm saying.
We have no approved 30-hour full-time, 30-hour permanent employee. We have no approved position.
So, but this debate has been brought up historically about the benefits of someone who's 30 hours full-time. So
correct.
That's all I was doing.
Yeah. What it states is that they would get it prorated based off of,
okay,
of 40-hour week, so it would be about three-quarter.
I guess I sort of have some time.
Anyone
some
else?
Questions?
You got some more questions?
No, I think that's all.
Anyone else?
No. I move the Board of Supervisors approve the N-10 bereavement leave policy as presented by Mrs. Bennett.
Second.
Okay, it has been moved by Mr. Ollenbrook and second by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Consent agenda. Anyone like to pull anything? Thank you.
Mr. Weaver?
No, I don't want to. Naturally, the accounts payable. We can't miss that, you know.
All right,
you
know.
All right,
accounts payable.
You already looked at my notes.
What page?
Line item.
Well, to start off right from the beginning, okay. I wonder why we're having so many individual real estate payouts. I mean, I know that's not necessarily us, but I don't ever recall seeing so many payouts here on real estate taxes. Two pages almost.
All those.
Like that. Usually we've had, you know, a few always.
These are
but
refunds.
Two pages I thought was really unusual.
Refunds, Mr. Weaver?
Yes.
I don't know why it is. I review all those.
Uh-huh.
And
did you notice that aberration?
The commissioner's here. You can ask the commissioner.
Not particularly.
He may know.
So you remember two pages a day?
No, I didn't say I remember.
You want to talk to the commissioner?
No, I was just curious.
Or you want the commissioner to say anything?
If he wants to say anything, but I thought maybe the county would have an answer for it.
I'd be happy to speak to him, Mr. Weaver.
Thank you.
At some parts of the year, they are collected and then done as a group, and that's what was chosen to be done here. Each one of these have the supporting documentation, be happy to provide
that.
Yeah, and of course you know that county attorney's office has to approve them, so I feel completely comfortable that they, in almost every case, many of them, I won't say every case, it's because they made the first half payment, and then they find out that they weren't required to, and they get refunded the money. You'd be surprised how many people sell a vehicle, for example, maybe in October of 2013, get a bill in June of 2014, first half bill, pay it. In about October or November, when they get the second half bill for December 5th, they go, wait a minute, we didn't have that vehicle, you know, and they have to generate the justification documents, which they do, and we have to give the money back.
Yeah, I'm not questioning the verification. I just never remembered this many. I knew we always had some, but I've never seen two pages before.
Yes, sir.
Well, that was the question.
I can't tell you how many there were or how they compare with year to year, but I will tell you that just my impression is that it didn't shock me that there was a great number.
Okay.
And that was, it's a quarter's worth also. It's for October, November, and December. Which
this was a new process for us to do it through MUNIS from the commissioner's office and the treasurer's office.
Thank you.
So this was...
Mr. Dahl and I were just talking. Right. As opposed to normally, Mr. Weed was absolutely right, normally be a month of them, and this was a quarter's worth of them, sir.
Okay, that's right.
Well, then that would make a difference.
Yes, sir. He and I were just talking.
That makes sense.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Mr. Weaver, you have another line?
On line 320, Lane Technologies, I'm sort of curious.
320.
When we finish this, that's the Pleasant Grove House. Are we still on it, or how much do we have yet to finish? Or this bill was $4,170. What was that, and what is our time frame on that?
Lane Technology?
It's 320.
The Pleasant Grove House is finished from the construction standpoint, but I'm not sure what this is.
I'm going to have to look that up and get back with you. I hope so.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
Let's see. 427, legacy, signs and grass, furniture and fixtures, sign posts. Then you had one up at the top at 416 Bank of America, furniture and fixtures, monthly statements. Just sort of curious about those prices. What precisely did that include?
The only thing I can imagine, Mr. Weaver, for the furniture and fixtures would be new furniture for at the Pleasant Grove House.
Yeah, that's on Jason Smith.
That's Park, under so the that's Parks and Rec Department, so that was new furniture to outfit the parks, the new Pleasant Grove House.
And we put it on Bank America?
It's our credit card.
Yes.
We're on our county, we all...
Right, I say. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And then as far as the legacy signs and graphics?
Yeah, so, I was thinking about that.
So we do get a rebate.
We do. And we're going to be talking to American Express, too, to see what they can offer.
We get a rebate.
Take a trip.
Yeah. Get Maui so we can take a trip now. Okay, that was there.
I had a question about 278. The juvenile detention. How much we have budgeted for that?
183, not counting debt service. Yeah. I think it's like
I believe
like
so, right around
184, 183.
Right. How do we know? I mean, you know how many children that we have replaced there.
We briefed that two meetings ago.
You did?
Yeah.
We're paying for those kids that we briefed to?
Well, she gave you about 4 years history on the number, or 6 years history. Well, she's not here.
Okay.
I can pull it up here if you need to see it.
And then what are we paying per night?
Per night?
Yeah.
Is 400 sound something?
No. I don't recall what the per diem is for children. Not
right.
To pull it out of
you know,
documents.
Right. I know you can't put it here, but it used to be.
We used to have that on there.
The number
and I was wondering about that myself, but I didn't bring
price.
It up again.
Well, at least $142 a night.
Is it? Okay.
$142 a night. Okay, so. This particular one, the $15,000, is probably for the month, two or three months, maybe?
That's a month.
That's a month. $15,000. $244 we paid the juvenile detention to detain and
that's for prison detention. It doesn't include debt service or things like that. Right.
And these kids are aged from what to what? They're not in that 18. They have to go up to 17. Mm-hmm. So they're from what age?
For,
10?
Right, yeah. When they turn 18, they have to move out. But
they move, they go.
They're not little kids. They're
teenagers.
Teenagers, I think. I think from maybe, it might be age 12 if they're segregated. I think they do age 12.
The youngest I've seen is 11.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You know, I think something else that was interesting was the treasurer's report. If you'll notice on that, you have the collections, like 99.16. Mm-hmm. We're talking about real estate. We go down to collections in the 214 second half of minus 96%. And we even go down to as low when we get down to 212 and 213. Collection rate was 85%, 89%. So I think we're really doing well on our projections anymore. Yeah. We're much closer than we have been in the past.
Yeah. And a lot of people pay personal property tax once they get their income tax back. But the finance board will be meeting the 26th. The one with the citizen, Rudy Garcia, Mr. Dahl. Are you?
No, ma'am.
No.
It's only you, Mr. Garcia, and the treasurer are the only members.
And the treasurer, right.
Mr. Dahl will be there for support, and Harris will be there for support.
Right.
And I may show up, but the only three members by code are you three.
No, I... So that will be our first meeting, and so we'll be talking about possibility of investment and different things. So that's good that we have that back on board. So that's at 3.
So my question on treasurer's support, is this what you're looking for? You're looking for something different?
I'm glad that, I know that Ms. Linda's not here, but I'm glad that this is starting. And I don't know if you all want her to present something different. Do you like what you see? Is there something else that she could add? Do you have examples of other reports?
I've looked at others, but some look at investment dollars, look at this on a quarterly basis or a monthly basis. Some report monthly, but you, maybe when after your first finance
board
meeting, find out what data is available. But
I
would think there could be a little bit more robust information than that, but kind of have to ask for it.
Yeah, well, we'll have to think about that at the board, when the finance board meets to see what else.
Munis should be able to give you numbers like that.
Okay. So that sounds good.
The reports are built in.
All right. Do I have a motion?
Are you going to go through these ones?
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go through it for the audience. On the consent agenda, we have our minutes of January the 7th, 2015. We were just talking about the treasurer's report. We went over the accounts payable report, transfer ownership of surplus county vehicle to the school board, resolution for rural rustic roads, Route 714 Union Church Road and Route 1007 Stoneleigh Road, open space application that we received. And I did talk to Joel Menzi. Mr. Nichols, Joe's Menzi, and V. Dot.
Nunzio.
I did talk to Joe Nunzio about the rustic road, and it doesn't go very far.
It's very small.
They're spending all this money to go around about like this, and it's a house over here and a house over there, but they can't do it both. The rest of it's private road. Okay, may I have a motion?
That was a long conversation.
May I have a motion?
Well, no.
I move to accept the consent agenda, X, Y, A, B, C, and D.
Can you get the total of that $3,513,000?
We'll add it to the motion.
Okay.
Well, I think it's good the public can actually hear that, too.
So,
how much was it?
$3,513,498.37.
Yes, sir.
All right, second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Ullenbrook, second by Mr. Sheridan. All in favor?
Uh-huh.
Okay, those opposed? Chair votes aye. We are finished.
No, we're not.
Unfinished business.
Earth Day, I had a question on that.
Yes, please.
When we get down to there.
Okay, that's new business, right?
Yes.
All right, we're going to go with unfinished business, and we have a gentleman sitting
here.
Well,
that is old business in a way, but...
Okay. Who has... Who will take the floor?
So what we've got coming back to is the Fire and Rescue Association.
Yes.
With some discussions about the questions you had asked when you did the work session with them a couple of months ago about the transition and options for emergency services in Flavanna County. Ms. Wilkins has a brief to cover. You have the Flavanna Fire and Rescue Association bylaws in front of you there, and then we've got some alternatives and options that you saw before, and I think you've got the big sheet in front of you there with all the rescue options. But then it'll be a just go past that, yeah?
I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah, please send them to the board, too.
Okay, Ms. Wilkins. Thank
and then
you.
Then you'll have an open discussion with the Fire and Rescue Association member.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is the same sheet that you saw the last time.
Yes.
That gave the different options.
Right.
So again, in December, you asked the FRA leadership to come back with a proposal for how to handle the current situation, and then looking at short-term and long-term possibilities for rescue services in the county. And again, what we discussed last time for what those rescue service goals would be for us would be to provide adequate ALS coverage 24/7. And to decide on a structural form for how best would serve that, and that's what we're going to be discussing tonight. But then also in that process to adequately support our volunteers and to eliminate unnecessary infrastructure that would make our system work in a more efficient manner. So I'm going to show you current operations, what we're currently doing, short-term options that would be within the next 12 to 18 months, and then to discuss long-term options of what could happen. Currently, we have the Lake Monticello does offer 24/7 coverage. Thursday nights currently, and then it would be the every third weekend in the rotation. Flavanna Rescue does not have adequate coverage for that night. So Lake Monticello has been asked to take step up to do countywide on those times. They also cover when Flavanna Rescue is not available, and often second and third crews as necessary. And this is, we're talking primarily night shift, because during the day we do have the contract crew on board. The UVA contract crew is currently just during the day, and as they bring on their additional crew members to cover the night shift, they will be available to us, but if we ask them to cover Thursday nights now, we would pay the special rates number, which is basically time and a half. So we want to wait until they have staff through their hiring process in order to bring them to the county, and it would be at the contract price. And that they're anticipating that will happen somewhere between February 1st and March 1st. So March 1st would be the latest that we would have the full crew on board. But I'm hoping that in the next couple weeks we may have one or two nights a week that we can bring on a crew in the process to help alleviate the shortage that we have right now. So that's our current, what we're currently doing. Short-term options and we're looking at short-term as being in the next 12 to 18 months. There's a possibility of even looking at some things, even a shorter term, like in the next 6 months, what would it take to be able to reach a next step goals? And that's part of what we need from you is a little bit of guidance for directionally of what we should consider. I think depending on who you talk to, when you talk to, we often can get other ideas, and so trying to bring all of those ideas together and say what is best for the county. And I, as we enter this discussion, I really would like to encourage you to think about if this was another county, what would your advice be? Because sometimes when we're so close, it's hard to see It's hard to see the forest for the trees, and maybe we would make better decisions if we look at a little larger picture. So we have, as far as for our short-term options, after the contract crew comes on board, I am hearing from the group three options. One is a modification of status quo. Another one is to create Fluvanna Fire and Rescue, basically bringing the rescue services and fire services under one organization on the Fluvanna side. The third option would be to have Lake Monticello Rescue provide the services and oversight countywide. The FRA at the last meeting recommended for Lake Monticello Rescue to look at what would that look like, and to if they were to put together a program where they would oversee countywide rescue services in the short term, what would that look like? Fluvanna Rescue continues to favor option two, with merging with the fire department and operating as one unit that way. So as we look forward, remember this is short term, and what might be best to keep services going in a way that benefits all of our residents. So what I've done, option one would be status quo, basically Lake Monticello covering 24/7 and countywide whenever Fluvanna Rescue is unavailable. I would recommend if this is an option that we go forth, that we look at how many nights can Fluvanna Rescue adequately cover a night, a week. And with five providers, it's not seven nights a week. So to look at, you know, how much can they consistently add, also understanding the contract crew will be on board 24/7. Currently, under this option, the contract crew would continue to run under Fluvanna Rescue's license and be stationed at Palmyra. I think maybe what I'll do is I'll go through the different options, and then as we do in discussion, to come back and look at some of the pros and cons, because there's, and the pros and cons are ones that I've heard, so they're not, it's not exhaustive, and I think our providers that are here may have a little stronger feeling on one way or the other, that, and it would be some valuable information for you to hear. So status, option two is creating a fire and rescue organization under Fluvanna. It would require revamping the fire bylaws to create a fire and rescue organization. The fire department would need to apply for an ALS transport license. Currently, they have a BLS, or a basic life support, non-transport. So our first responders can go to the scene, can assist, but they can't transport the patient. The fire captain and the EMS officer would both report to the company chief, and that's current. That's the current way that it works, and each fire station does have an EMS officer or a supervisor that oversees the EMS portion for the first responders. So it would not be a big of stretch, and often, too, right now, those EMS officers are members of Fluvanna Rescue. So it would not be as much of a stretch to expand that. Not in all cases, but in a number of cases. The contract crew would run under that license as the primary crew, augmented by volunteers. And this option would allow the volunteers to run the nights that they are available and can run. So say there's three nights a week that the volunteers can adequately handle, that they would be able to run from that. This option would suggest placing ambulances in the Kent Store and Fluvanna Fire stations. The fire stations, with the contract crew operating out of Station 1, and with the options of possibly selling a station, the rescue station in Kent Store and in Fork Union, renovating, using that money to renovate Station 1 and getting it up to a little better usability, and to possibly deed that building and property to the county so that it could be maintained on an ongoing basis like the fire stations. All the fire stations are, for Fluvanna Fire, are owned by the county and maintained essentially by the county. Option three, which is what the FRA had recommended to look at for a short-term possibility, is that it would be one volunteer agency countywide with the volunteers to run out of a preferred station. So if you are a volunteer and you want to run out of Kent Store Station, that's your home, that is your home station. It would, this would not mean that Lake Monticello volunteers would be going to Kent Store or to Fork Union and running out of there. It would be to accommodate the volunteers. I mean, if you have someone that lives in the lake that wants to run out of Fork Union, that would be perfectly acceptable. But we would, in this option, would not ask the Lake Monticello to actually staff the stations. And again, the contract crew would be stationed at Palmyra, and that would be the only station that would be full time staffed with our current staffing. In this situation, station lieutenant would report to the Lake Monticello rescue chief. And it would allow for one protocol for countywide services. Fluvanna Rescue's agency license would not be needed. Then long term, beyond that, beyond the 18 months, there's been a lot of discussion about the possibilities of creating a county department. And as we've been talking about this, there would be two options. One would be to continue to develop the Fluvanna County Fire and Rescue as a volunteer separate agency, much like the lake's structure, to grow that. So essentially we would have two volunteer agencies of systems that would operate in the county. The other option on a long-term basis, and there's been some, is to create a career volunteer combination county department. This is one of the options in looking at just the way volunteering has been going nationwide, and with the numbers of volunteers, many departments are finding the need to add career staff. We definitely see the need for the EMS side of it, but there's nothing to say that we couldn't hire, instead of hiring pure medics, we would hire firefighter medics as a combination. And that would require creating a department create additional bureaucracy that we would need to move on. But looking at, you know, what do we do short term, next 12 to 18 months, and we chose 18 months because it would be the start of a new budget year, and it would also be time enough, I believe, for us to basically get our act together and how do we move forward. And I've listed a number of pros and cons related to that option. Oh, now you have questions. So
could you go back to that last slide for a second?
This one? So I don't know what might be helpful is to hear from Fluvanna Rescue, from Lake Rescue, and also have Fluvanna Fire present too. And part of the issues too is with Fluvanna Rescue right now, there are five providers, and one of the providers was offered a job with Medic 5. And so there's some structural changes that would need to happen. Her employment, she cannot function here in the county and be on Fluvanna leadership. There's a good possibility that she will be placed in Buckingham and only coming on a temporary basis here. But I do think Fluvanna Rescue has a couple of volunteers that are willing to step up and take that captain position to at least work at that. But again, that still leaves five people to maintain a 501c3 corporation and run all of the administrative and paperwork and everything that needs to be done just on the maintenance to maintain the vehicles, the record keeping, the supplies, all of that sort of thing. So it's very, very taxing on those five, on Fluvanna Rescue, without having additional administrative support that could potentially come through creating the fire and rescue organization, or and having the lake supplement that.
Okay, we want to hear from the gentleman sitting before us before you question, O'Brien.
No, I thought it was well put, and just in terms of, you know, the good way to look at it is if you were examining these problems for another county with your expertise, how would you approach the problem? Because it is difficult, and you know, there are a lot of people that have a lot of strong opinions because they're, you know, they're looking at it from that perspective. But, you know, in the long run, we all want the same thing. We want, you know, the best quality service for our citizens at the lowest cost possible, with an organizational structure that is designed to grow and to enhance volunteerism and professionalism. Right? I think they're not separate things. But if we accomplish that, we are able to reach the other two goals. So, you know, that's, I thought you put that very well there.
Okay. We'd like to hear from what you'd like to present to us.
Maybe James, president of the organization.
President of
the,
yeah.
I'd rather take it on a question basis than anything else. I mean, we've talked about the situation for a number of years now, mm-hmm. Which is why we brought on the Medic 5 crew, because at the time we were a shrinking organization with volunteers that, from the Fluvanna County side, 95% of our volunteers have primarily been full-time employees as well. So you work your full-time job, you get home in the evening, you volunteer. Jobs change, family situations change, your volunteerism changes. You work at night, therefore you can't volunteer at night. We didn't have a day option, so to speak, for the county. So it was very hard. Families expand, you have single income, you know, two families working now, so two parents working, it's very different. Times are very different. Which was the need to bring on an additional supplemental crew to help volunteers, so that when you dial 911, somebody showed up at your house. Whether that was a paid crew or a volunteer crew, didn't matter, as long as somebody showed up at your house. So that's the route we took when we went with the paid staff. Since then, the situation has gotten even worse. The volunteers are still down. That's for a myriad of various reasons, whether it's leadership in the organizations or just the pool of volunteers, or just the availability of a volunteer. It's different. People just don't have the time or can't dedicate a full shift, which makes, so instead of having one volunteer for a shift, you need two or three, depending on how much time they can give. So a lot of dynamics have changed. Like Cheryl said, we're down to five EMTs, myself being one of them. I run two nights a week, Monday, Tuesday nights, and every third weekend, and pick up where I can. Plus work a full-time job, plus coach at the high school, plus still have a family. It's a lot of responsibility, and it's not getting easier. The state puts a lot more pressure on the EMTs. It's a lot harder. You have to do a lot more to stay certified. There's a lot on volunteers across all of us, fire as well. They've seen numbers shrink as well. It's just a different time. So what's the option? We've looked at a lot of them. Can we maintain a 100% volunteer? Probably not. We've already seen that. We've already gone paid for a portion of the time. What do? You want to have somebody show up at your house when you dial 911. What's the option with what we got? I think option two, the reason why Fluvanna Rescue supported option two, which was sort of a combination of fire rescue, is to maintain the town feel. You still have Fork Union, Kent Store, Palmyra, which is how fire rescue grew. So you preserve that for those members that have been there and served a long time. You don't shut that down. But you utilize both organizations and what they both can bring together for a lot of different reasons. It's the same, you know, you work together. We work together a lot on calls with fire rescue. We kind of know each other enough. It's a combination of facilities. It's a lot of overhead stuff that can be reduced down, but while still looking ahead. what does the future look like down the road? Is it a 24/7 paid situation? Who knows? Maybe, maybe not. There's a lot of what ifs. What we try to come up with, what is the best for Fluvanna County? Could it be all one organization? Sure, you can have one organization. You know, that's still difficult. It's a very big county to do that with one organization. You still have to have a large number of staff to do that. Again, a lot of it was to keep sort of the way the system grew in the county. You had your three distinct departments under one umbrella. Why not just bring them together as a family now and still serve the same communities? That's kind of why we lean with option two from a Fluvanna Rescue perspective. You kind of keep that to support the people that have done it for years. So I don't know if you have any other questions on that.
I think option two and three both work. I think option two works a little better for some of the reasons Jamie said. I think under option two, you're going to have people in those localities be more inclined to join. They're going to join because there's a functioning corporate structure. Each of those stations has proven leadership in it currently. You have new facilities, and you have the identity of the local area that they're joining. So I know it's inconvenient for Fluvanna Fire. Some people there have some resistance against that. But as I said before, countywide, I think that one makes sense. I think if you go to option three, can the lake do that for you? Yes. Can we still station an ambulance in Kent Store and Fork Union? Yes. I think the ability to recruit for Kent Store and Fork Union are going to be diminished if people think they're joining the lake, because they don't feel the lake is their area. They don't have that identity with it. We would do everything to try to overcome that, make them feel welcome, make sure that if they join, they know if they want to go to Kent Store, they'd be in Kent Store. If they want to be in Fork Union, they'd be in Fork Union. It's more work for the Lake Corporation and maintaining the vehicles and whatnot. So either one of those can work, but I think you have a better chance of solving the problem without going to a long-term solution, at least for a while, if you could actually put the fire and rescue together.
Okay. Anyone else?
Okay. Well, I'd like to expand on that just a little bit, if I could. I think both Jamie and Len are right in that there's a tradition and an identity that would be preserved that way. Could we do it as Lake Rescue? As Len says, we could. However, we have the same issues that Jamie does. We're in pretty good shape with volunteers right now, but we're stretched pretty thin. And adding that extra layer of infrastructure and administration would stretch us even further. And so we will start getting into that same situation as well, I'm afraid. So I also think that just for the same sort of reasons, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, to begin with, I want to state that these five people with the County Rescue Squad, anything that I say is not toward those five people. Those folks are doing, bending over backwards, mm-hmm. trying to keep yes. this thing running and trying to come up with solutions to keep right. it running. Mm-hmm. But the Fluvanna County Fire Department's been in existence for 62 years. It's the longest running corporation, emergency services corporation in the county. I know we have some folks who want the fire and rescue to join together. We have some that don't. It's I don't say it's equal, but we don't know yet. We haven't gotten a general consensus, but. I just see the fire department. I don't want to make any moves until we know exactly what we're doing, because I don't want to do anything that's going to jeopardize the Fluvanna County Fire Department organization. It's, like I said, it's been running 62 years. I think from what folks tell us, we do pretty darn good job. And we're taking over something. If we do take over the rescue squad, we're taking over something with five people. Maintenance, staffing issues, all sorts of headaches. We have no guarantee of if we take it over, if it's going to be a success or if it's going to flop. If it does flop, what happens? And the biggest thing that I worry about is that I don't want it causing so much dissension within our own ranks of the Fluvanna County Fire Department that it may possibly take us down. We need, from the fire department standpoint, we need to think long and hard exactly what we want to do and how we want to do it. At this point, we haven't had that time to do that. The 12 to 18 months, I think it would take 12 months for us to come up with exactly what we want to do, what we need to do. Back in 2009, when all of this started, I was put on a committee. And at that point in time, Fluvanna Fire and Lake Fire didn't have a dog in the fight. We were put on the committee to help with decisions. And now all of a sudden, it's all dumped on Fluvanna Fire to take it over. And I don't want to do that until we're really careful and know exactly what we're faced with. And I can't guarantee that it's going to work. So far, where the body is going to come from to operate this. I see if you do all three stations, Kent Store, Palomar, and Fort Kenyon, you need a minimum of 30 people. That's two people a night, five nights a week, and then every fifth week you'd run a weekend. So where are these 30 people coming from? I know Company 3 has some folks that they think will apply. One other thing, too, is that I noticed in the option 2, it said the fire captain and EMS officer report to the company chief. They report to the county chief. The chain of command that I would see would be, you have the county chief, and right now we have three company chiefs, and on that same line you break off with an EMS chief who will report directly to the county chief. That's just a chain of command thing. But again, it just, this whole thing, I guess, bothers me in that it's been dumped in our lap to do something. And without a lot of research and a lot of screening of our people to see who's going to run, where we're going to get the people from, the mandate to do this, I'm concerned.
Yes, sir.
I think a lot of it does get emotional. It gets emotional for a lot of people. But I think what we're really talking about is merging two organizations as they are today, but still providing the service by the paid crew. What we will do on the rescue side under a fire umbrella is really the administrative management, combining of facilities, stuff like that. The overhead part is what we're trying to eliminate. Why maintain a fire station and a rescue station for three different localities? Why not have one? So you're not paying overhead for a rescue building, and you're paying overhead for a fire building. The service is still going to be a paid service. Nobody's saying that that's going away. It would be nice, but we don't envision it going away because somebody, again, has to show up when you dial 911. The thing with the option two and the merger is more of of resource and facility and overhead. It's not, I know what Mike's saying, somebody still has to respond to a fire call. That will still fall on fire. From an emergency services side, it still will be 911 to the county, UVA Medic 5 will come to your house. If they're out, Lake Monticello will come. If both of them are available and volunteers are available, they'll come to your house. Somebody still will come to your house. It's just a matter of how we structure the organization to continue to move forward. Fluvanna County Rescue cannot do it status quo. It's got to go somewhere.
I think
in the short term, there's no way we can do it in 6 months, maybe 2 years. You can't wait that long. You just can't. It's got to go somewhere.
I think the five members of Fluvanna Rescue would be more comfortable going and continuing to serve under Fluvanna Fire and Rescue than they would be under the programs being absorbed by the lake. So I think if you do this merger, you're probably going to keep all four or five of those. I think whenever a countywide EMT class is offered, and there's one now that's halfway done, there's another one I think planned in April or May, and the lake rescue chief is there, and representatives of, call it a lieutenant or chief from each of the fire stations shows up at that class and says, you know, we're also looking if you live in this area, you'd be signing up with us. I'm certain they will follow up on that applicant's interest, which has not been happening of late from Fluvanna Rescue. So, I mean, I could pledge and wholeheartedly from everyone at the lake that we would do everything possible to work and assist Fluvanna Fire with this undertaking as far as training and recruitment and try to build those ranks. I mean, I think we have a good relationship with Fluvanna Fire right now, and they would be taking on a lot, but there's a variety of reasons why it's I think, the better option than asking the lake to do it. As I said, if it comes down, the lake has to do it, we'll step up and do it. But I think there's some extra difficulties in making that the choice.
The first thing that I would have to see is somebody would have to step up and be the EMS chief. And so far, there hadn't been anybody step up. I would love if in our organization, the fire department or the rescue squad, somebody to say, yes, I will be the EMS chief. Somebody has to take that over completely with all the administrative stuff on the EMS side, staff and vehicle maintenance and rotations. It's going to take that person wholeheartedly devoted to the EMS side.
I just had a conversation with Tracy.
Vehicle maintenance was, we've talked about that. And whoever takes this over is getting four or five ambulances. And I said to Cheryl, if it was the lake, the first thing I would want to do is have those ambulances sent out to either Atlantic Emergency or Colonial Ford or some other agency who services them and say, go from bumper to bumper. I want to know this thing is roadworthy, that air maintenance needs to be done. And I said, the county's getting the bill. So if you're telling me the lake is taking those ambulances over, we're not taking them over until we know they're ready to go and, you know, they're in the condition of readiness. And I think that's fair whether Fluvanna Fire takes them over too. It's an unknown issue and liability question there. So whoever takes over that operation, the county has to expect that you're going to incur some cost that is going to be to bring it up, whether it's supplies on the ambulance or maintenance for the ambulance. But there is a cost in merging the two, as Jamie said, because you eliminate the overhead, the heating insurance of three other buildings. But I understand Chief Brent's concern with, the maintenance of the vehicles. He's maintaining enough vehicles right now. So now we're going to just say, here's four more, or five more, deal with these two. So I think you're going to have to look to an outside corporation to at least help in the beginning with that.
In addition, as both Mike and Jamie have mentioned, there is a lot of administrative tasks that are involved in running a rescue squad. you know, there's a lot of reporting to the state. There are legal issues with patient care. And Mike is right. That is going to be a big burden. But the current volunteers are doing that already and know what they're doing. And the lake will obviously offer as much help as we can give towards that. As you may know, the biannual inspection is coming up. And we're preparing for it now. We're working on checklists, and we'll obviously help the county get through that as well. If it goes into the fire, we would continue to do that just as well.
I have the Savannah County Fire and EMS study that was conducted in June 2012, the ultimate report. So I've read this thing cover to cover probably 100 times, and I've highlighted things and made a few notes, but five times in here it talks about codifying and employing the fire and EMS chief. This is 2.5 years ago. I think it uses the word leadership more than 100 times. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think this is anything new. I think we just have fancy bar graphs and statistics and PowerPoints now. These guys were experts then, and they recommended these things 2.5 years ago. And I think if you were to call them back to come here, they would recommend the same thing again.
So why hasn't the Fire and Rescue Association taken that on and recommended that? Because I haven't heard that recommendation once from an FRA in the last 3 years since that study was done.
I think you're exactly right.
Well, but you're a member of FRA. I've been pleading with FRA to give us recommendations to give to the Board of Supervisors. And while I don't disagree with you, Captain Pollard, I just think that I'm waiting for an FRA voice, and I think the Board is waiting for an FRA voice, because you all represent the Fire and Rescue Volunteer Community, and you are the subject matter experts, and you have a roadmap, but you got to support that roadmap to the Board of Supervisors so the Board can fund it.
We did recommend that when the study was done.
It wasn't one of the primary recommendations. There were three primary recommendations that you all sent to the Board, and I concurred with the time, too. And one was to work with the 911 system, and one was to, I don't remember the three, but the three of them that were highlighted. Go ahead, Cheryl.
One of them was me.
Yeah, hire an emergency service coordinator, fix our E911 protocols, and I don't remember what the other one was, but
actually, it was to hire a volunteer recruitment coordinator. Was the position stated in here? Not. It's on page 18. To hire a volunteer recruitment coordinator that would focus on recruitment and retention. I'd like to see how many volunteers have been recruited since for the rescue squad since August of 2012. Now, I think it's nearly impossible for them to recruit because all of the publicity in the paper, all the negative publicity of Fluvanna Review. I mean, and the thing that I think about is if I was going to change jobs and invest my time in another employer, and they have nothing but negative reviews, would I want to make an investment in them? There has been no good publicity in the past 2.5 years. So they're never going to be able to overcome that. Like James, it would take years. People don't forget the things that were on NBC 29 and CBS 19. It's not their fault, but I don't think that they'll be able to overcome that. So I support doing what was recommended in August 2012 and what many people are recommending now. It's easier to start planning now. This whole thing is based on strategic planning. We haven't done that quite yet. I think it's better for us to start planning now on codifying and employing that fire chief and building the system, building the foundation, combining the two. It's going to be easier to make the small incremental changes over the next several years than it is to come back here again in another 2 years with the same problem. You're going to be forced to make an abrupt change, and volunteers don't like abrupt changes at all. So my plan for Kent Store is, if this happens, is we already have the administration, we already have the officers, we have the ability to do it, but it wouldn't be 24/7, it wouldn't even be 7 days a week. We could easily do 3 or 4 nights a week, even some days, I'm sure. But it would have to be what's called cross-staffing. And there would be people there, and they would take the most appropriate vehicle to the call at the time, and that's just the best you can do. Even departments with career staff do that. You don't have the ability to employ that many people to provide an engine and an ambulance in every station. So that would be my plan, and I think it would be successful for the next foreseeable future, as far as I can tell. The other thing is, Lynn talked about a countywide EMS class or EMT class. I've got 8 people, probably 5 or 6 of which are back there, that want to take EMT class. I've got people that live in Kent Story that want to take EMT class. And they talked about taking the community out of the rescue squad. He's right. But we need to start having some of these community-focused training programs. As long as we keep having them at the high school and the lake, it's going to be harder to recruit for the community organization. So I'm in support of option 2. I just think that we should do it slowly and incrementally. Like Lynn said, keep the community involved rather than even transition to myself.
Just so you know, too, with the EMT classes, I mean, we did do the first responder class was held at the high school to get at more of as a central location. The EMT classes have been held at the lake primarily because of the facility. You need specialized equipment, access, and that sort of thing, and it has worked better to do it there at the lake in the training situation that they have. But there has been the last 2 classes because they were funded by through the State Farm grant, which was a countywide collaboration for recruitment, and also my budget too, and the effort of really making it recruitment for countywide, and it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked as well with Fluvanna Rescue as far as pulling volunteers for their organization for a variety of reasons, but it's not been because there's been a lack of effort trying to do that. Part of it is that pool of volunteers, and where, you know, if you want to volunteer in your backyard.
One of the things that I don't see between option 2 and 3 that seem to me to sort of beg the question, if you would, which is there are certain functions, administrative functions, volunteer coordination, volunteer recruitment, that seem to be really a countywide type of level function, with local support from each one of the emergency groups, you know, each Kent Store, et cetera. But really that coordinated effort, that putting it out there, that promoting it, that getting out and talking to the high school kids, getting out and talking to BBCC kids, doing those kinds of things. That seems to me that if we duplicate those efforts with the limited resources that we have, we're making a mistake there. So I don't know what the right solution of blending 2 and 3 with that is, but it seems that Lake is already doing some of those things. Fluvanna Rescue is doing some of those things on their own, but they're at the peril of not doing the rescue services, which is where they really need to, because we're so short-staffed, need to focus on to some degree. And then likewise, as we blend into other organizations, you know, duplicating those services is where, I mean, I get the local flavor, but you don't want to waste, when you've already got limited resources, that extra talent to duplicate the same services. So
no, you're exactly right. And as Andrew pointed out, that was one of the recommendations from the study, was to hire a recruitment and retention specialist countywide. And I think that's part of Cheryl's job description, is to do some of that as well. And that's where some of her budget comes in, is recruitment and retention. So it is at a county level, and I agree with you completely, it should be at the county level. Just for that reason.
And an important focus for the county as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, as a board, we asked the Fire and Rescue Squad to come back and to talk to us and tell us what they recommend for us to do. And I think that they've done that. They have said, well, they've given us 3, and then I think you said the majority is number 2, option 2.
At the FRA meeting, the consensus was to ask Lake Monticello to put together a plan, basically to volunteer to put together a plan for what would it look like for them to handle rescue in the short term, countywide. Otherwise, they would get it by default. Because if it goes on with status quo and Fluvanna Rescue is not able to meet the calls, their lake is going to get it by default. So why not be proactive in putting together a plan? That was what came out of the FRA meeting. And then subsequent meetings, then two, working with Fluvanna Rescue, that's when more of option two came back and saying, we really like this option. We're already working together. We would like to more codify that or to bring that forward as a stronger option. So hence, there's a little bit of a dilemma.
I think that they haven't, I don't think they've gotten a consensus
as
either way.
There's not
a consensus either way, and I'm not sure we don't have them go back and try to hash out a consensus.
We have not voted as a board on which option we...
No, they I've heard both two and three. So I mean, I've heard both of them. Just
so you're just so it's a report. It's a report. It's just halfway, but it's nothing definite.
What you have is the status quo.
Yeah.
That has always been the status quo in Fluvanna County long before I got here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to continue to
just
think
not,
about it.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, we have to honor the volunteers who volunteer. We've got to support them in wherever organization they are. But we cannot, in my belief, endlessly fund extra equipment, supplies, and dollars. And you've all seen that so far in the draft budget you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be very careful to design something that meets the needs of the history, the traditions, the home places of people, but also provides the best corporate structure to support volunteerism in today's world. And while I'd love to see them go back and get a consensus, I don't think you're going to get one.
And the thing is, if a consensus or a decision cannot be made, then who will have to make it?
But the five of us sitting right here, the five of us.
You will have to make some funding decisions.
We will have to make it.
And you've already made one funding decision, which is to hire a crew 24/7 because we just need it now.
Yes.
If we don't need it forever, fantastic.
Good.
But you need it now. But sooner or later, you have to make a funding decision about the rest of the organization's funding, and you provide the authority to run.
If you want the Fire Rescue Association to make a consensus, I think it would probably cause more damage to the organizations that have, you're pitting people against each other.
Yeah.
They're going to come down to a vote. You don't want to put volunteer against volunteer to make a vote.
So what's the solution?
It's on.
I mean,
so one thing that's going to happen March 1st, your EMS services are going to be better off than they were, than they have been probably the last 7-8 years. So y'all, by going to the 24/7 staff, you're already bettering yourself over what you have
with
at the status quo.
Other.
Can we mothball Kent Store Fire and Fork Union Fire? I'm sorry, Kent Store Rescue and Fork Union Rescue Stations?
That's not my call because that's their own corporation. That would be up to rescue.
No, I mean, I'm not asking you guys. Like, I'm just asking, can we mothball those just to save some costs and not have to do too much maintenance on it and run out of Palmyra? I don't know. I'm just asking.
The answer is yes, but I guess we'd have to still go back to Fluvanna Fire because they would be taking us in. They would have to agree to that.
Well, Fluvanna Fire, Kent Store and the Fork Union Stations have already agreed to that.
We agree if it's Fluvanna Fire and Rescue or if we take Kent Store Rescue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would be a good situation long term to have Lake Monticello Rescue and Fluvanna Fire.
So you're talking about no structural changes except for moving from
one
location to another.
That's sort of what they do anyway. I mean,
and administratively, your folks are handling all the administrative stuff now.
Yes. For the options, though, we're talking about getting to that one structured organization, Fire Rescue.
I understand, but that's where we're running into a lot of
duplicating rescue. And
so if you go with Andrew's move it slowly
and no one...
No, we just need to make a decision.
We always agree, so no sense in talking.
No, we need to make some decision.
I'll only be three seconds.
I agree with what you said,
Mr. Bowen, and to move slowly. And I understand what you're saying, and the 65 years that your organization has existed, and you're concerned about it living another 65 years. So I think we have a solution there where there's no structural change, organizational change, except for what you said, closing two rescue squads, rescue buildings. But you're not changing the organization. And you're accepting an ambulance sitting in your bay.
That's already been agreed.
That's been agreed.
In Fort Union and Kent Store.
That's all I said, the status quo is going to break.
They know that's going to...
But that's a slow move.
But it's a move that already exists.
Right.
No, Fluvanna Rescue today has some volunteer runners and two full-time, full-crew runners. Well, they'll have two full-crew runners. I mean, all that mixed together, they cover their first due area. Sometimes they've got two crews running, sometimes they have one.
Sorry.
But they're running out of three buildings.
You're going to say something, Mr.
Today, and we only need to, potentially, maybe only need to run out of one building, right. Palmyra, and any other crews that can run out of the fire stations at Fort Union and Kent Store. It would still be Fluvanna Rescue Corporation, still be Fluvanna Fire Corporation, but they just physically use some of the same locations, so that we save utilities, electricity. It's not catastrophic amounts, but sooner or later, we're going to have to figure out whether we need two buildings within 200 yards of each other, in, or, you know, a mile of each other at both those sites.
When I say slow, we don't want to move too slow.
You don't want to move to the vanish.
No, but you get the set of time frame we have to stick by,
but you can't make drastic changes.
Exactly, you're dealing with volunteers.
You're not dealing with paid staff where you can tell go over here and go over there. So because of workless balance.
I mentioned that before.
And I agree with you.
That's where I work at, in combination departments where they make a drastic decision and the volunteers leave.
Are gone.
100% correct. Right. That's why I'm saying make slow changes. However, we do, I mean, everybody's ready.
So let's say we have two options right now.
I'm not saying that we have to choose right this moment, but if FRA recommended Lake Monticello develop option three, well, that's just a, you guys start to figure out the plan and see how that goes, and I would submit that you try to find a balance between two and three. But let's say you go with that. How many rescue volunteers walk out the door because the decision is to go with option three? Do all five walk out the door? Does one walk out the door? Does two walk out the door?
Our volunteers are upset about that also.
Fire volunteers at Lake Monticello?
No, they get the respective companies that you're going to put the ambulance.
But they turned down the ability to do it the other way around, right? That's what we heard, is they didn't want to do that. I mean, isn't that part of the thing? I'm not saying I don't want an ambulance
in the station, but it would be impossible to run an ambulance out of station that was led by a different organizational structure on the other end of the county.
These issues will come up.
There were issues will come up. Simple things. Bunk rooms, logistics, office space. Things are going to come up and it's going to cause tension.
The suggestion is that you go with option three, you're putting an Army crew in with a Navy crew.
Correct.
Okay. Because it's Lake Monticello Ambulance being in a Fluvanna fire station.
It's not that we don't get along. It's that when someone wants to use this shower or this bunk room or something like that to come up in the middle of these things happen now. Now you're putting two agencies.
I think you just underestimated volunteers, the way people think, the way people get along.
Well, our service rivalries and the organization I came from go back a lot farther than fire and rescue rivalries do.
It's time for everyone to grow up, and face what's important. And that's what's important for the residents of this county.
Do you have to
set aside our differences?
Yes.
And the best answer to that is it all merges into one. Then there's no resentment by Fluvanna Fire about the Fluvanna Fire EMS people. There's no problem with chain of command. It becomes all one structure. I know we don't want to do it. It's time to put our big boots on, big pants on, and address this issue.
And we're
because
fine.
Just listen to what's going on.
I agree.
Everyone's worried about this and that. Right. Who's going to get along with who? How about the citizens of Fluvanna County, who should be getting responses of ambulances from four different locations,
and
not
it's not
two,
happening.
Not one, four.
Right.
Why?
Yes.
And I mean, why? Why do we need to have ambulances in four different locations? Can we afford that? And is it needed? Do we need ambulances at Lake Monticello and the Palmyra Station? Mm-hmm. Do we need to even maintain other ambulances?
If people are going to walk.
I would think differently. I'd want a response quarter.
Which
can't afford in a rural county to put an ambulance in every corner of the county.
You'll get it quicker anyway with EVA sitting at the station already.
Yes.
It's an 18-minute response time. We had a call at a Bremo Pass station. It was 18-minute response time from the call to the contract crew pulling up on site, which is pretty good.
And that's pretty darn good for a rural county.
We're
not even a big county compared to many.
I think part of the charge here is to do something in the short term that lays the groundwork that can be sustained and built upon as viable organization is going to get more volunteers. Otherwise, we're going to be more and more reliant either a paid crews or contract crews. Unless we fix the systemic problems that exist now and put a foundation in where people want to join, there's good leadership, good administration, that's your only chance of trying to get sustainable volunteers. Right. And I'm not hearing it.
But and you all are the only, you are the people who can do that. And that's what we're asking.
But there's no boss there.
Because they're going to be fighting.
They're waiting for a boss to tell them what to do.
So let's take an example. If we had a good volunteer mechanism, and we were able to bring up our volunteer numbers, and instead of spending $600,000 on paid crews, we were spending $300,000, then we might have $600,000 to be able to hire an emergency fire chief, a chief, and an emergency person, which would only strengthen that continued component, right? I mean, these are the trade-offs that we have when we're not doing the things as efficiently as possible, because we're trying to accommodate, history, right? And I mean, I'm not against history, but I'm just saying, hey, in our budget before you guys showed up, we're looking at and saying, well, maybe we can't afford that truck for you guys this year, right? And part of that is because we're spending $300,000 to bring in another crew, right? So, unfortunately, these are the decisions that we make here. And I know you heard me say that before, but to your point, at a certain level, in the long term, recruitment is essential, as Mr. Pullen pointed out, number two. We've done one, and we've done two, and this is number three. And I would guess that a lot of you probably agree with that overall assessment of that report from 2012, and that this is a good framework and a good guideline under which we should try to follow. So, leadership 100 times, identify that. How do we get to leadership sooner than later? And I get that there's multiple leaders here, so, I get that. But in the long run, would Fluvanna County be better off with a chief, if you would, than it is today? And if the answer is to that, and we've got to hire a chief to bring him in, how do we get there sooner than later?
I can tell you the absolute answer to that is not a chance.
Not
because
fair.
The same personalities that are sitting mm-hmm. here are going to have the same bugaboos with the boss, because they're volunteers and the boss is not, and there's going to be stuff back and forth, and there'll be service rivalries and interstation rivalries and inter-organization rivalries. It's not going to make it better. It's nice to have a belly button, because it's great for you all to have a belly button, but the belly button you appointed in 1994 was the Fire and Rescue Association, so you could collectively come with one voice. Even when you disagreed sometimes, you could at least collectively bring your experience to bear to hear. So hiring a fire and rescue chief, because the person's a paid person full-time, is great if you like him or her, or you like him or her, or you like him or her, but anyone doesn't respect their opinion. It's the same way when we hired Cheryl. Everybody had an opinion. But not everybody agreed.
You're not going to
fix it by just hiring one more person. You're going to fix it by collaboration, in the best sense of collaboration for our county.
Historically, our neighbors have started out,
gone through this over and over.
They started out with the fire rescue chief, and then that person has built the organization under that. I can honestly say that hadn't worked in the counties, surrounding counties. It's and I can't tell you what the answer is.
It's
I don't know if anybody that's done it right yet.
But we as a board, we disagree on a lot of issues. 3-2, the three wins. We go ahead and do that. That's all five of us. We might disagree with it, but that's the way we're going. And that's the way we're going to have to be here. There's going to be dissension, and we can respect that. But we cannot continue the way we're going. We don't have the money. We're going to have to utilize our space better.
A lot of respect to you when you come up.
And sooner or later, when somebody makes a decision, when the decision is made,
we need to make it sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
So if we ask the FRA to go back and say, based on, you know, what's the best long term decision for the citizens, based on the outline plan, you know, that was listed there, based on what are the cost savings and what that are going to provide, and based on what's going to give us the greatest chance for recruitment efforts, can FRA take a vote on that when they discuss those things and come back and say, here's what we like?
And I know you all can.
We need a vote to do number four. I mean, 1-4. That's the priorities. Mm-hmm. Everybody agreed to those before. Those are the four priorities. Yes. How do we get there, FRA?
Unfortunately, if you can't come to that conclusion.
But they don't want to do that.
Wait. If you can't come to that conclusion, and I mean fast, then the five of us are going to have to make the decision, and that's the way it goes.
And we know one is not an option, so take that one.
Well, we don't even need to discuss it right now.
Please don't.
We don't. We can make that decision amongst us in an evening. But I'm just passing it back to you out of respect one more time.
Well, but they want us.
If you want us to do it and you don't want to go back to it.
We can do it right now, yeah.
I can do that right now.
Yeah, we can do it right now. So.
But I don't want to disrespect you folks by doing that. I want to give
you. Well, it's not disrespect.
It is. I want to give you the shot.
And I'm not sure you have the legal authority. Now, you own the purse strings, part of the purse strings, and you own the authority to run. But I'm not sure you have the legal authority to tell two corporations to combine.
I think we ought to allow them.
So we let them.
And my one question would be this: if we're going to put them all together under one umbrella, instead of Lake Monticello Rescue, it becomes Fluvanna County Rescue, because that's who they're representing.
See, that's one thing that really hadn't been discussed at all yet.
And I said that earlier tonight to Mr. Bozen. I mean, I might step on a toe when I say that, but if we're going to combine them all together, we don't need to be Lake Monticello Rescue Squad.
That's
right.
You
develop a problem right there when you say that. You Fluvanna Rescue, boom.
Then that would create.
Well, like I said, I may have opened a can of worms right there, but.
Well, it does create a can of worms, but I think eventually, and this is my opinion, I'm not speaking for anybody but myself, I think eventually that's where the county will get to, like it has in the other organizations around here. I don't see it in 2 years. I don't see it in 5 years, but 15 years, yeah, I think this county is going to be there.
Like I said, if we put it under one umbrella, that's, I would say, why aren't we Fluvanna County Rescue Squad if we're going to put it under one?
That's right. When you hire that fire rescue chief from that point, then that all the agencies are one.
You're going to have that triangular chain of command anyway.
Yeah, you're going to let
the chief. And it's just a question of figuring out how you're going to merge it. But
do you all feel that way?
But because of the kind of inter-rivalries that Mr. Nichols is talking about, it's going to take a while to get there.
Nope. He and I made a comment just now. He brought up Army and Navy. They get along in time of war. We go to the fire scene. We go to the rescue squad scene. We're all one.
Yep. You and I run calls together.
In order for the cat, first of all, the lake originally was developed to only respond in the lake. Right?
Yes, sir.
It was later.
Absolutely.
It was later they started coming out to the county. Okay. The way the county would have to force that to the lake, because, again, we're a private corporation.
Yes, sir.
You would have to unauthorize us to respond to emergency calls and redraft your own system, right? You don't own our apparatus. You don't own our buildings. Okay? So there's another. And why would you go after the organization that's working and functioning?
Well, I'm not trying to go after
it. But no, you will. You will, because you're going to, if you say that and you want to make it all one county organization, in essence, you're taking over a private corporation's assets and make it part of the county. You will lose a good part of a functioning organization. I understand there's an advantage to have a countywide thing. I'm just saying what you're saying you would do in regards to the lake, you're unwilling to do as a board with Fluvanna Rescue, which is unauthorize them to respond to emergencies, seize the assets which you already own, redistribute them to Fluvanna Fire, and tell Fluvanna Fire, get the transport license. In the meantime, while you're doing that, the ambulances will run 6 months under the lake's license. You're unwilling to do that because you don't want to force it. I get it. I understand it. You keep throwing it back to the FRA to do it. The FRA is unable to do it. And
why did you make that recommendation to us?
Because I'm...
You could have come to us tonight and say, this is a recommendation we have for you, board, that
because
you all
that,
do this
that's,
thing.
That's me
together.
Saying what
yeah,
I see as a solution,
the
but the FRA is not voting for that. All right? But the only way you're saying I don't have the power to tell Fluvanna Fire they have to take Fluvanna Rescue. And the only power you have is power of the purse. You budget all of this. And you have the power to authorize any of these three agencies to respond to emergencies. And if you don't authorize it, the lake would become a social club. We'd have nice buildings and we'd have members, but we couldn't respond to any emergencies. You have the same power to revoke Fluvanna Rescue's authorization to respond. Those are the powers that I see the board has. And if the Fire and Rescue Association can't get to a point where they come to you with a viable solution that you're satisfied with, the only way you're going to force it is through the power of the purse or revoking authorization to respond.
I think
tonight, my understanding of tonight's meeting is it's a work session to tell you where we're at right now. And this is where we're at. We've got work to do.
But I thought you were coming back with your recommendation, not where you are.
Yeah. They were supposed to, but this is slightly before when they were going to come back, just because of your budget scheduling.
Okay.
And they just have not been able to come to a consensus decision yet. However, this is never going to be an easy decision. My only concern in this is supporting the existing volunteers adequately so they can continue to run to the degree we can use them. Secondly, maintaining our equipment and our quality standards such that that's not slipping, even if we only run one night a week. And third, finding a long-term way ahead because we've been riding this worn-out old horse for long before I got here, and it's study after study after study is just going to tell us the same thing. This is a different world than it was in 1950. We don't have the ability to recruit and retrain, especially rescue volunteers, in the same way we used to. And so sooner or later, we're going to have to start circle the wagons and consolidating. If you do that in an incremental way, okay. But let's minimize the cost in the meantime to the degree we can so we can focus it on what we've got left to fund.
Well, so again, if you look at this list here, four, okay, nobody's complaining about that for the most part. Relatively easy.
I disagree. Number four is a big bone of contention.
That's a big
because
bone.
There are people here that do not want to get rid of the Fork Union Rescue Squad building and the Kent Store Rescue Squad building because there are additional resources for classes, for training, for storage, for whatever. Well, we got lots of additional resources for classes, training, and storage in Fluvanna County we're already trying to maintain. I disagree with that school of thought, but it's an important school of thought to hear. So don't think that number four is not in question, because it is.
I would say number four is Kent Store specifically is a big community issue. Mm-hmm. Because that land was donated, mm-hmm. the building was donated, time to build it.
Right.
And the question I've been asked is who's going to sell it? Who is going to profit from a donation from somebody else?
Not Fluvanna County, because it doesn't belong to us. It's
exactly.
A corporate entity.
There's a lot of questions about that.
There should be no questions. It's a corporate owner thing.
And it's
thing.
501c3, so
right.
It can only be used in certain ways.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to enrich an individual, and it's not Fluvanna County's property.
I don't think Fork Union is fighting over it.
And Fork Union is not Fork Union is not Fluvanna County property either. And there's strings tied to that.
Yeah.
Frankly, it doesn't really matter so much to me what happens to those two buildings as long as Fluvanna County is not responsible for them, unless we're going to physically use them to run rescue or fire out of it.
In defense of the Fire Rescue Association, I would like to add that we did, at the meeting, we left there with option three being the preferred option.
Yeah,
somewhere between that point and now, it's drifted away from that.
Because the same two or three people on an issue, not this issue, but there's two or three people on an issue that always have this, and it happens afterwards. And the next issue, these other two or three people have an issue on this. Sooner or later, you gotta say, I don't like the decision, but I'm on board with everybody else.
So, if the Fire and Rescue Association still wants option three, we'll do option three.
Well,
speak for yourself.
When they came to a decision, one person got angry, the discussion was ended.
So let's just look at that list. All right, so let's say the buildings, and okay, let's table that for right now. Appropriately support volunteers to serve. Between, you know, merging into Fluvanna County, you brought up some good points there, between the lake and creating a new entity. If we create a new entity, we have two entities. Can we still be really effective at supporting volunteers with two entities, or would it be more effective with one? And if the answer to that is, well, we can be more effective with one, but it's not politically feasible now, then the second part of that question is, how can we be as effective as possible to still reach that goal? Because that's really an important goal, I think, right? So that really begs question number two, right, the structural form. Well, Mr. Bozo basically pointed out that it would be really complicated to move Lake into Fluvanna Rescue right away. That's just too complicated and not realistic. Now,
how do you handle that from an operational standpoint, though?
Well,
if we do a fire rescue chief, he's going to be fire rescue chief over here, but he's not over here, you know?
Oh, no, if the county pays and funds and hires a fire and rescue chief, I would suggest that the fire and rescue chief will be the county's, and every license that's underneath the county would be underneath that fire and rescue chief, regardless of their individual corporate structures. So
that's what it should be, yes.
You know what? I can't imagine. Well, I wouldn't recommend anything different than that. I mean,
I'm saying it's like, you, by the time you narrow down to those things, you're pretty much, you know, either doing two, but you're still moving kind of in a direction of, how do we get to three? And at the end of the day, getting to three, well, if doing two doesn't work right now, then the de facto is going to three anyhow, right?
Well, and that's right, and that's why we are. And I'm speaking for Lake Rescue now. That's why we are working on that, assuming that it may end up being that way. However, there was a direction from the Fire Rescue Association to develop that plan in case it happened, and we are doing that. However, we are not happy about that for the reasons that I mentioned. Can we do it? Yes. Do we want to? No.
And honestly, just from history and tradition, Lake Monticello Fire Rescue and Water Rescue, and Fluvanna Fire and Rescue, no matter what flavor you call them, that's been the two core organizations. Yeah. Now, I know Fluvanna Fire and Fluvanna Rescue are two different corporate entities, but how can we possibly continue to sustain two more corporate entities, you know, 5 years, 10 years from now? Sooner or later, they're going to have to kind of merge in some way. But I agree with Chief Brent. This is a big deal. My concern in the meantime, on behalf of the county from a financial point of view, is just the cost of maintaining status quo over and over and over and over, just because it's a tough decision. So, Fluvanna Rescue and Fire Association, on behalf of the board, I would hope you'd come back with a formal plan to get to an end state, regardless of whether all of you agree or don't agree. But
can we
a formal
lock
plan
them,
recommended to the board can say.
Meeting room? And put the sheriff outside.
Say,
y'all can give him plenty to eat and just
put him in executive session. How's that?
And Chief Brent said something earlier about, you know, how do we find 30 volunteers to maintain, to have a full crew, to have coverage? I don't think it's realistic whatsoever to think that we're going to have three volunteer crews at all three stations on duty all the time. It's never going to happen again in our lifetimes. So I don't think Fluvanna Fire is being asked to do any more than you are today from a rescue point of view. You get two paid crews, and you get whatever volunteers are ready to run, and you get those volunteers to help manage the structure. And maybe it's not a corporate merge right now. Maybe it's just a getting to know each other merge. And you leave Fluvanna, Palmyra Station is where the rescue crews run from, the contract crews.
and the other fire stations maybe host the rescue
yes.
folks whenever they can, but you're starting to get familiar with each other and find out that, oh, by the way, it's not that much work because the rescue people are still going to do the rescue work. There's still going to be an EMS chief.
Mm-hmm. Are they?
Well, I think so. And what if there isn't, Mike? If there isn't, if, for instance, all five volunteers were no longer able to run for whatever reason, what you have left is you have somebody that has to be responsible for buying supplies and providing some technical guidance for two paid crews because that's your entire rescue squad.
Mm-hmm.
And now that may be that Cheryl would have to do some more stuff, or we'd have to contract a little differently, or we'd have to get Lake Monticello Rescue to provide some clinical support or some buying support. But I don't think there's a huge amount of... I understand that the blending of stuff and, you know, this getting step families together and you don't want to, and you got traditions. I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to be that much. I don't think you have to mash them together. I think you just start working together closely, especially the two outstations, and leave Fluvanna, Palmyra Station like it is, and see what it evolves to over time.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a different structure, and maybe 6 months from now or a year from now, you figure out, hey, this is not working so bad. We need one extra person, and then Fluvanna Rescue decides to devolve as a corporation, give those stations and land back to the original owners or for a different purpose or whatever, and Palmyra Station gets bought by the county for a dollar or something, so we can still house rescue there. There is a way ahead while we're still being sensitive to the long standing tradition and history of Fluvanna fighting. But in a county this small in 2015, you can't afford this kind of corporate structure. It's just too expensive and too hard to maintain legally. So,
okay.
Right. I just don't want you driven to being forced into a decision, because they're going to make a decision for you sooner rather than later if you don't come up with a solution that's most preferred by you.
Thank you.
But actually, they don't want to. Some of them don't want to make a decision.
If they don't want to make
you
it.
All can make
because
it. Of the. The tension that might create between them.
The good thing, Mr. Weaver, is if you all make a decision, and I say this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I was in the military for a long time, that will give these folks, and I don't mean any of you particularly, but our whole organization, a chance to complain.
Oh,
because
good.
The people that want to complain about it will complain about it. They didn't like this decision, didn't like that. In the Navy, excuse my French, a bitchin' sailor was a happy sailor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he was getting paid, so he stayed.
Indeed, and volunteers are different, and we need to provide better support and better structure, but you can only wait so long for the train to pull out of the station.
I agree with that, Ms. Booker, but a volunteer doesn't have to stay.
Yep.
Well, then
volunteers step on their toes.
A volunteer is just like the Minuteman in the Revolutionary War. When the Minuteman fought, he went to battle. But you tee that Minuteman off, he goes back home and says,
"Hey,
we'll
fall."
Mm-hmm. I don't think.
And I'm trying to avoid that from happening.
Absolutely,
that's what we got to work towards.
You sound like me when I was in the Army. I was drafted, and I just kept telling him, "Send me home."
Go ahead.
I think
you said
it. I think we all the volunteers.
So where does this leave?
They're going to come up with something. Going back to the...
We'll make a decision December 4th. This coming year. November 4th.
I don't want to make...
That's the day after election.
I want them to make the decision.
So what do you think is accomplishable? What do you want to come back? Do you want to set a date when you come back in April to the board?
When would you like to come back? Jamie, you're the president.
All collectively.
Right? April.
Who's in charge?
Scott Coburn, who's not here.
By default.
Well, I'm just not really. But
okay.
Well, our next fire rescue meeting is February 9th.
Is that a board meeting?
No, that's the day of fire rescue meeting.
What day is that?
Monday.
We can't do this the 18th.
Can we?
Everybody's got jobs and volunteer things. I don't think you're going to get a lot done between now and February 9th because that's only a couple weeks away.
Uh-uh.
So I think you need to set a realistic time to have come back and maybe mid or late April or something.
I was going to say either late April or the beginning of May.
Well, it's right after the budget season. Okay, then first meeting in May.
That's
a 4 o'clock meeting.
Late April, we're going to work session because we have a county farm meeting in the first end of April.
We're just trying to stay away from the end of the budget.
So how about the first meeting in May and plan on a 7 o'clock work session that evening because it's a 4 o'clock meeting? And you can come at a 7 o'clock meeting on the first Wednesday in May?
Jamie?
That's not an update. That's not an update.
That's the formal recommendations.
Now, what that means, though, is that between now and then is status quo.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That means the lake's covered a lot of crews.
Well, it means your contract crew's going to cover their share.
Well, contract crew comes on.
February, yes, we're going to run a lot of calls, but we're all going to try to pitch in and help.
Well,
so that's
thank you all. So thank you. Wow.
And if we solve problem number three, we solve most of the other ones. It's about a line, right? So,
and that's the biggest thing. Right?
So that's May 6th at 7 o'clock.
I think we supposed to talk about last time we talked. Because you talked about finding ways to support them.
That
needs
to happen. Thank
you. We'll send out notices to all of you.
Then we have our new business coming up. Thank you all so much.
Forget the new business. I don't want to.
Hey, how about college game day being there?
Yeah, that's great for the Duke game.
Yeah, that's going to be that's pretty wide.
So they're coming for the Duke game. That's cool.
Well, I mean, you know, that's a pretty good ball club.
I'm hoping ours is a better ball club this year than theirs.
Well, we can have three guys have a bad night.
Yeah.
And still have three other guys.
So we're very
they
fortunate.
Think if they have both sports and one other guy.
And more.
We're discussing the basketball game. Sorry, ma'am.
I'm sorry. Thank you. I will now open the second public comments. Anyone who would like to speak to the board, would you please come?
Wait, we're
not. I skip it.
He doesn't want to. Yeah, he just told me. We'd like to come to the mic, please. Give your name and address, and you have 5 minutes to speak to the board. Anyone? I'm going to close the second. And now, Mr. Weaver, may I have the
yes, closed we'll session. Go into a closed session. Madam Chair, I move that the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant. I lost my other sheet. We've had so much confusion. Where's the one that we enter into all day?
That's the closed session.
Okay. Enter into Section 2.2-3711A.1, Section 2.2-3711A.3, Section 2.2-3711A.6, Section 2.2-3711A.7 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purpose of discussing personnel, real estate, investment, funds, and legal matters.
Second.
It's been moved by Mr. Weaver and seconded by Mr. Stern. All in favor?
No.
Anyone opposed?
Yes.
We're in closed session. All right. Okay. We need to come back in.
No idea.
Okay.
You had something to tell me.
Madam Chair. I move the closed meeting be adjourned.
And if we have order.
Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711-A of the Code of Virginia 1950 is amended, and only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting. A second and a recorded vote is needed.
Second.
All right, it's been moved by Mr. Weaver and seconded by Mr. Sheridan. All in favor?
All right.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. Tony?
Aye.
And Chair?
Aye.
Want to oppose anybody? No. Okay. All right. Now, do we have a motion?
Yes. I hereby move that the county provide defense for the county attorney and his firm in the case now pending in the Circuit Court of the City of Richmond under style of Davenport & Company, LLC versus Payne et al.
We have a second?
Second.
All right. It has been moved by Mr. Ollenbrock, by Mr. O'Brien, and second by Mr. Weave. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The chair votes aye.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Real quick.
Wait,
just one idea. I'm just going to throw it by you.
One idea.
No, it's new business time.
Try to keep it under 4 minutes.
New business.
If y'all shut the heck up, I would.
Okay.
There you go.
You got as much time as he has for jail time.
Do you have to keep talking that long?
I just wonder if you had just the Company 1, Company 2, Company 3, Station 1, Station 2, Station 3, sit down, if they could have a meeting. Not saying anything against the lake. We already know where they will do what we tell them, what we ask them to do. Okay? He said today that their recommendation was the 2. That they go into the fire companies and then we will help them from there. All right, I think that's what I took from what he said. Would we be better off having them all sit down together or just the Fluvanna Fire and Fluvanna Rescue? That was my only thought. It hit me in there, don't ask me why. It's just one of them things.
Well, it seems to me that de facto.
It just takes three more opinions out of the room.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That was my only thought. We know where they stand, they'll do what we ask of them.
I don't think we're down to a FRA decision, really. It is a Fluvanna Fire,
Fluvanna Rescue. Mm-hmm. Let them sit down, and maybe they can hash something out that we can come to a mutual.
Is that Cheryl's?
That's what I'm saying.
She'll participate with them. She goes to most of the meetings.
I may end up trying to go just to sit there.
Right.
You know.
But it's the old fire guard versus the new fire guard that's the problem here, not the rescue.
True. Yeah, we need all of them together.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that was evident, but then as soon as I mentioned something about the
consensus.
We're going to never get a decision.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Did we finish? Did you finish?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
We got a motion.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's.
I try not to talk too long. For most part.
Okay, now we can take the motion for adjournment. May I have the motion for adjournment?
So made.
Okay, and second. It has been moved by Mr. Weaver and second by Mr. Sherman.
No, Mr. Ollenbrock and by
second by Mr. Sherman. We are adjourned.
Did you say aye?
Aye. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye.
I mean,
I have to bring his.